Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Center Stage. I'm Carrie Hines, your host, and my co-host today is Chris Stevenson. Chris is a syndicated columnist for several black newspapers and websites, primarily the Buffalo Challenger and the Buffalo Bullet. Chris's articles can be found on www.buffalobullet.blogspot.com. Good evening, Chris. How are you?
How you doing, Carrie?
I'm good. Are you excited about the show today?
Yes, I am.
Okay, this is our first time at it, folks, and we plan to talk about the things that have occurred in the world of like politics, some of the stories dealing with the Tea Party, the healthcare bill, the Erykah Badu story. We're just going to jump right in. Chris, what did you think of the Erykah Badu story this week?
Well, you know what? I was notified by a friend of mine. As a matter of fact, it's Pat Freeman, who I co-host a YouTube talk show with Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy who's had a long-standing talk show. And he told me about the whole video and everything. He posted the video on his Facebook site.
Wow.
So I went out there. I went to YouTube and extracted a copy of that, you know, the URL code and put it on my Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't last long. They took right off.
But
some people got a chance to saw it.
Wow.
You know, they got a chance to see it. Okay. I thought it was very interesting.
Really.
My thing is, I've always liked Erykah Badu. I mean, I'm not a big collector of hers. I got her first CD. I was very impressed by it. I like most of the stuff she did after that. There's a whole lot of videos that I have a problem with before I have a problem with her video.
Really?
Okay, yes, yes. Obviously, most people have a problem with the nudity in the video. You know,
absolutely.
She is doing a song called Window
Seat. Window Seat?
What's it? Window Seat?
Window Seat, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's called Window Seat. The locality is in Dallas, your hometown,
correct,
by the way. And she's walking around the site of the Kennedy assassination, the grassy knoll and everything. And, you know, she's walking towards that area. And as she is singing the songs, she is progressively removing one item of clothing.
Exactly.
After another.
Mm-hmm.
Until she gets near the end of the song and she's walking totally nude, and she says she finishes the song and she gets shot
in the head,
gets shot in the head and falls down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have this naked female that's you know playing a dead person right there on the grounds of the JFK assassination.
Correct.
I get the political message of it. What I'm seeing here is the fact of, you know, I think she's talking a little bit about intolerance and how people don't like it when you when they're made to change their way of thinking, when they're made to deal with new issues, and especially if the president does it. So very timely nowadays, okay?
But did you have a problem with the fact that children were present when she did it?
Yeah, well, you may have been the first person to have made me aware of this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a different story altogether, children.
Because, you know, she even made a statement after the fact that she hoped that no children were traumatized as a result of the video. So even, it sounds like to me subconsciously, she knew that she was doing something that was inappropriate, you know, in front of children, but yet she continued.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, you know, I really just didn't understand what the connection was between the song itself and her taking off her clothes, because when I looked up the lyrics, I really didn't. Did you check into the lyrics or you want me to?
No, I'm going to. As a matter of fact, I'm on her page on Wikipedia.
Okay.
I didn't know that the DOC was the father of one of her kids. He's from Dallas also, I guess you would know.
Okay. Andre 2000 must be the father of the other one.
Yes. Andre 2000 is the father of Seven Sirius.
Okay, right.
You know, born in 1997.
With kids, you know, I don't know, with kids that age, you would think that that would be an embarrassment to the kids, because I just couldn't make the connection between the lyrics and the actual disrobing. I never could make, from what I saw about the lyrics, I just couldn't make that come together.
Well, maybe if she just sang the song and it was just a regular video, nobody would really be interested.
Mm-hmm.
In the video, you know what I'm saying? Because what she sings about seems to be pretty heavy.
Okay.
But at the same time, she's thinking, she probably reasons to herself, well, in order to really make sure I get people to hear it, I got to do this. I got to take off my clothes.
But you know what? The lyrics, though, that I found said things like, can I get a window seat? Don't want nobody next to me. Just want to take it out of town. A look around and a safe touchdown. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe I don't understand the context in which those songs were those words were sung or something. I'm missing it, because I don't see how that connects with the nudity in the video, but it may just be me.
Right.
You're looking from a male perspective. Maybe it's just me. I noticed also what I saw of the video, because I never could get any audio on the video, but I actually saw the actual video. She has the word evolving written across her upper back. What do you think she meant with that message? Because I'm sure it has some type of significance to her song itself. What do you think she meant by that?
Now, I see the lyrics and the video.
Okay, what do you think?
The window seat, and it shows evolving sitting there. And it's the nudity. One thing that's evolving is the nudity, because
nudity.
Huh?
So you think the nudity is what she meant when she said evolving, or?
No, I think she's really saying that I'm gonna take time out to be an existentialist here.
Ooh.
I think that she is saying that man, the human race, is still evolving, which I believe is true.
Maybe that's it. So why do you think it is that she didn't go and get a city permit to do this? Do you think that she knew that probably the spot in which she chose was a historical spot, and maybe there was going to be some police presence, and so therefore maybe it wasn't the best thing to try to get that permit, that the best thing to do was maybe to fly under the radar with her video shoot, and therefore she could get it done without being interrupted by the police?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Maybe she was afraid they just was going to say no. The city would have said no.
But don't you think, though, with this particular location being historic, that maybe it would be considered offensive to some people? I mean, don't you think, like, wow?
Well, sure,
you know,
it would have been offensive. You know, sometimes you can offend people with the unoffensive.
Mm.
Most beautiful thing in the world is the naked female body.
Mm.
It is. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. That is, you know, you women are God's gift to man.
Okay.
Period. You are God's gift to planet Earth.
Okay, ladies, did y'all hear that? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So that's it.
So what she did was present God's gift right there in that video, and she did it in a setting where she wasn't talking about being a gangster, whatever, B-word, or talking about supporting some hustler or pimp.
Hmm.
Or whatever, or glorifying that lifestyle, or you know, or prostitution or whatever. She wasn't there shaking her booty.
Okay.
So I have a whole lot, like I said before, I have a problem with a whole lot of videos before I have a problem with
Erica
this latest video from Erica Badu.
Hmm. Well, you know, one thing I read also on her is that obviously she was able to negotiate with Delta Airlines to feature that particular song, Window Seat, on all the Delta Airlines flights when people were boarding. They would listen to that throughout the whole month of April. Do you think that will affect whether or not they'll continue to do that, or do you think this may be too much controversy for Delta?
It's hard to say. If they'd have no controversy with it, they'll be listening to these words. Don't want nobody next to me, as you said. I just want a chance to fly, a chance to cry, a long bye-bye, but I need you to want me, need you to miss me, I need your attention, I need you next to me.
Wow.
I need someone to clap for me, I need your direction.
Wow.
Somebody say, come back, baby, come back. I want you to need me.
Wow.
So this seems like, in part, it's a love song to a certain extent.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe the rest of us just didn't get it.
Maybe the rest of us, but See, what she's doing is she's singing partially in part a love song, but on the other hand, she's making a political statement at the same time, a political statement and in partially an erotic statement.
Very erotic statement.
So a lot of things going on in this video. Yes, a lot of things going on in this video. So this is very, 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 this is very true. You know, here, this is what I call a transportation song.
So if you were flying and you're not crazy about flying, you would feel comfortable listening to that song?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
that would calm you down enough to get on the flight and fly.
Yes. I would say, oh, that was a good flight. You know, if I could see the beautiful body of Erykah Badu.
They didn't say they were going to play the video. They just said they were going to play the song.
And I might be reminded of the video by hearing the song.
That's right. Oh, so then that would take you back to the point when you first saw. Okay.
Sure. And, you know, you didn't get that when we got other songs, okay? Except I remember Lisa Stansfield.
Mm-hmm.
She covered a Barry White song. This is a white R&B singer. She covered a Barry White song, totally nude, walking downtown through a crowd of people.
Okay.
Completely naked.
Okay.
Her song starts off with she's in the bathtub and she drives herself up, gets up, and goes outside, walks out of her apartment nonchalantly without even putting on her undergarments, and she just walks through the crowd of people. And the same thing was done by it's another female singer, another white female singer. And I saw this on MTV years ago, Alanis Morissette. I think the name of her song was called Hello.
Okay.
And there was no controversy with those songs. First of all, these were white women.
So you think it's because Erykah Badu is black that there's...
Exactly. It's you're going to come to find the people who have the objections about it is the black Christian community and the white conservative community.
So a naked black woman is a threat to America? Is that what you're saying?
Right now it is, probably.
Wow. So what? Didn't the police say they were going to bring charges?
She gave us a treat, because usually it's the naked black man that's a threat.
You know what? I won't leave that there. Didn't the police charge her with something, though? Didn't she get charged?
Yes. She got charged. Matter of fact, I posted that on Facebook. Let me go there right quick.
I know that they were definitely threatening to charge her. They've been all week saying, the news media kept saying, I know they're going to charge her with something. So I knew that there was going to be, they were not going to let her get away with just
oh, really?
A slap on the wrist and a warning. I knew they were going to have to do something to.
Right. Well, here it is. Here I have the news. It's in Yahoo News.
Okay.
I put the link up, and waiting for it to come up in a few seconds, but.
You know a black woman was, or a black person, period, that did something like that with that many witnesses was not going to get away unpunished. I mean, I think she kind of knew probably that something was going to come from it.
But here it is, Erykah Badu charged over Dallas nude video.
Wow.
Neo-soul singer Erykah Badu faces a disorderly conduct charge for her nude music video shoot in downtown Dallas, Dealey Plaza. Officials announced Friday. Badu, a Dallas native, performed a walking striptease in front of tourists and pedestrians during a March 13 shoot for Badu's window seat music video. The performance ended with a nude Badu acting out, receiving a fatal gunshot to the head at the spot where President John F. Kennedy was assassinated in 1963.
And I think that's probably what really most of the people have been upset about is the fact that it happened in a historical landmark, and the fact that a black woman was naked. So I think, Erykah Badu was promoting an album, and she needed publicity, and she got it.
Well, she got it, yeah. And you know, publicity, negative or positive publicity, have been known to sell albums ever since the days of the Rolling Stones, the early days.
I think that's really how the music industry works. Anytime you can get your name out there, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Sure. I remember the Beatles. I think it was Paul McCartney or John Lennon. They were misunderstood as saying that they were more famous than Jesus or whatever. and the Christian right down south began destroying Beatles albums. I remember those days.
Hey.
You know, that wasn't just history. That to me, that was contemporary. That was during an era when in my youth, when I understood music very well and watched the music world.
Well, I would say to Ms. Erica Badu, we have given you your 15 minutes, and so we're going to move on. Let's talk about the health care bill. Boy, has that been big in the news lately. You know, they said that passed without one Republican vote. So that has made a lot of people angry. I mean, a lot of people angry. What do you think? I mean, do you think that it's necessary for both the Democrats and Republicans to vote on something in order for it to be a good thing, or is that not necessary?
It's not necessary. You know what? The reason that you pushed to have the House and Senate to be dominated with your party is because you can pass things like this. Okay?
Okay.
So, you know, Obama could have had this bill passed long ago, but he was obsessed with what I call political assimilation.
Okay.
He wanted he dreamed of a bipartisan, bipartisan bill signing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you do that, you momentarily forget that you're black.
Mm-hmm.
You know, George W. Bush never forgot who and what he was.
That's true.
You know, and a lot of times if you remember, during his 8 years, he ignored Congress, Senate, and the Supreme Court in order to get the things through that he needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Obama needs a little bit of that ruthlessness.
Okay.
And I think when it became clear to Obama, especially, understand, if you remember a couple of weeks before that signing, people were saying, oh, he's dead in the water. This bill is dead in the water. And this is what he really wanted. So if he doesn't get it signed, his whole administration has been a failure. His whole term has been a failure.
Right. Oh, that's just true. They did.
They
had
written him off almost completely.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Nancy Pelosi and Rahm Emanuel, from different perspectives, Rahm became the jailhouse shower room intimidator.
they vilified them.
Yeah, Nancy became, you know, she became very persistent, and they got it through. You know, Obama has to learn I think he learned a lot. He learned the art of by hook or by crook.
Ooh. So you think that the Republicans were trying to scare people? A lot of people say that George Bush's administration he used fear as an intimidation mechanism to get people to do what he wanted them to do. So you think now they're trying to say Obama's doing the same thing?
Sure, they're going to try to equate that, but it's no comparison.
Okay.
You know, I think Obama has been very effective. Obama has done a lot of work over his first year in office.
Mm-hmm.
There's no denying that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has signed more legislation than any other president, especially more than statistically what I've been hearing is more than Bush and Clinton combined at this point of their administration. So no president. I mean, he's the James Brown of presidents. You know, he's the hardest working president in show business now.
I agree. You know, but with all of the bill passing, there was a lot of concerns that people had that some, you know, you didn't know if you were dealing with myths or with facts because, you know, the health bill itself is 2,600 pages, and nobody seems to have read it, the entire thing in its entirety from beginning to end. So you have to wonder if some of these concerns are myths or are they facts, like the death panels. Do you think that's just something that Republicans, you know, put out there to cause people to be fearful that if you reach a certain age, they're probably just going to kill you off? You know, and if you're sick and in the hospital, or do you think that there was some truth to it, or was it just a myth?
It's a myth.
You think it was a myth?
These fear tactics become very tiresome after a while. There's no death penalty. You know, they're trying to make Obama sound like he's ruthless or anything, and they would have said anything.
Okay,
you know,
so when they said things like
prevent it from happening.
So you think the health care bill definitely would not ever have a death panel in it?
No.
Okay.
No.
So when people had concerns about whether or not this particular health care bill would fund abortion, did we ever prove or disprove that not to be true? Because I know they said that he did he signed an executive order to say that this bill would not fund abortion. However, they said an executive order, just like you can enter one, can be rescinded. So I don't know, as far as the abortion, I just thought if it was not the case, why didn't we just specifically say in the bill itself it will not fund abortion?
You know, I can't say what the bill says because I hear that bill is, what, 2,700 pages long?
Yeah. 2,600 pages. Well, yeah. See, they said that the
I posted a link to that bill, but I haven't looked at it in detail myself.
Okay, 2,600 pages is a lot of pages. But see, I question because they said Planned Parenthood has made 3 visits to the White House. So I really question, you know, what was Planned Parenthood going to the White House so much for, and is it concerning abortion? And you know, is there some reason for us to be concerned that this health care bill will fund abortion?
Should we be concerned about this?
Yeah. I mean, you can't just dismiss everything as a myth and say, well, all those people are crazy.
When it comes to conservatives, you can't.
Oh. <I don't know.
laughs> Come on now.
I don't know if that's fair. But, I mean, you know, the thing is, sometimes, though, you know, even a liar can have some truth to him, you know, and so you just have to wonder, where did that come from, and why did they feel so strongly and put so many stories out there about that if there's no truth to it at all?
To scare people from away from it. And what they didn't want was public support.
Okay, I can go there. And I can believe, so when the Republicans came out and said that hundreds of thousands of doctors would be quitting if this health care bill passed, you think that was fear instilling fear in the people as well, or trying to stop the health care bill? You think that's just what that was about?
Yeah, because you're not looking at how ruthless these people are.
Hmm.
You know, they'll say anything. They'll say, if you sign this bill, pigs will fly. They'll say anything.
See, there were several things. I'm just going to kind of give you.
Burn and buildings will collapse. Well, you know, we got collapsed buildings during the Bush administration. That's when these Tea Parties should have been forming. Okay.
I hear that because there's been many things. Let me just kind of run down a list of things that I've heard, just the different, you know, I don't want to call it propaganda, just the different things I've heard people concerned about. Will this bill affect Medicaid? You know, will people that are on Medicaid somehow have problems with their insurance, you know, from now? I don't know. There were even veterans that were concerned that, you know, their medical care right now is fully paid for. But under this bill, they're wondering, are they going to have to pay for a portion of their health care? That's a question that definitely, if I was a veteran, I would begin to be concerned about. Another thing was,
mm-hmm.
are we going to be pulling money from the student loan program, since that's now been taken over by the government, to fund this health care bill, which doesn't seem quite fair. People are calling it a government takeover of insurance, socialized medicine. I think people are saying things like, is this bill going to cover illegal aliens? You know, and they're also calling it Obamacare. So there's a lot of, you know, things being said that you don't want to just dismiss all of them as, oh, that's just somebody spewing rhetoric. You know,
well,
could
you
some
what,
of it have some merit is
well,
my
I'll
question.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to read an aspect of the bill that's going to counter the death panel, that I think counters the death panel rumors. And this is called. This is from AOL News. It's called "Healthcare Reform Will Impact Long-Term Care." Article written by Robert W. Stock.
Okay.
And he says, written March the 26th. It says, as healthcare reform became the law of the land this week, a huge block of Americans with a unique interest in the outcome sat watching on the sidelines. The 49 million people who care for older family members were hidden in plain sight, as usual, quietly shouldering a burden that so often takes a heavy toll on their finances and their physical and emotional well-being. Many of them, I know a few, are opposed to the new health care law, even though it includes one of the most important steps ever taken to improve health caregivers' lot, especially those of the middle-class persuasion. Of course, hardly any of them are aware of that. The Community Living Assistance Services and Supports Act, otherwise known as CLASS, provides for a national insurance program to help cover the cost of long-term care, something 70% of people over 65 will need at some point along the way. the premiums will be much lower than those for private plans, and you won't get screened out because you've already had some health problems.
Hmm.
Once vested after 5 years, enrollees unable to care for themselves will be able to claim cash benefits for as long as needed.
Hmm.
If you're rich, you don't require much financial help with long-term care. If you're poor, and can no longer fend for yourself, Medicaid pays the bills, often at a nursing home.
Okay.
For the rest of us, long-term care at home or in an institution now requires that we or our caregivers choose from among some unpleasant options.
Okay.
We can spend down our retirement savings until we're eligible for Medicaid funds. We can protect our savings by taking out expensive long-term care insurance.
Hmm.
It costs my wife and me more than $5,000 a year. Or depending on how dependent we are, we can throw ourselves or be thrown on the mercy of our families.
But see, you know what, with the economy being what it is, a lot of people can't afford to take out any more insurance for anything. So it's easy to say just go get you some long-term care insurance. But, you know, on top of what, you know, the fact that you can't pay your mortgage and you're losing your car and you can't buy groceries, that you're going to be able to go somehow and afford to buy you some long-term care. So it's just people have a lot of concerns, though, Chris. I mean,
you know what? Look, here's the thing. What I've been hearing is that Medicare is going to dry up eventually anyway.
I believe that.
When it does, Obamacare is going to, what people call Obamacare.
Obamacare. Mm-hmm.
This is going to require the people who make over $250,000 a year to take care of that.
Mm.
That's going to be taken out of their taxes.
Mm.
Okay. A small percentage of that is going to be taken out of their taxes. They basically won't even notice.
I bet they will.
They'll do it because they'll be scrutinizing. All right, but you know it's not going to be a lot. It's not going to be a whopping. You know, it's not going to be like, you know, you're living in Cuba and Castro's taking 40% from you, whatever, like that.
I understand that, but see, we've already had a backlash from one of the doctors in this country in Mount Dora, Florida. A urologist, Dr. Jack Cassell, put a note on his door, and basically the note read, "If you voted for Obama, seek urologic care elsewhere." So obviously it is some fear out there amongst doctors
sure.
that, you know, things are changing and they're not happy about them. So therefore this doctor, in ignorance, is taking it out on his patients. You know, so there is some concerns that are so legitimate to the people in their minds that they're lashing out. You know what I mean?
But that's very ignorant of the doctor to say that.
Oh, that's very ignorant. I mean, I'm sorry if his tape somehow finds his way to his desk or his, you know, what his computer. I'm sorry, Dr. Jack Cassell. I just totally disagree with that, and I think it totally goes against the oath that you took when you became a doctor.
Right.
And I think if people are smart, they'd all leave you at the same time.
Right.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, moving on.
Hippocratic oath.
Huh? Yeah, what do you call it?
The Hippocratic oath.
Hippocratic oath. I agree. That totally goes against.
Turning into hypocrites.
Totally.
You know, so, you know, these are childish decisions, rash decisions that I don't think all of them are going to keep as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Once they become reluctantly informed what the bill really does, the doctors and even certain states that have vowed non-cooperation with Obama will come around.
You might be right. Well, then only time will tell that. Only time will tell.
Of course.
Well, you know what? Speaking of people that have become, like, outraged with health care, one of the main anti-health care opponents is the Tea Party. They're very upset. And I don't really think I understand, like, what their grassroots really is founded on. Is it founded on the fact that their health that it's health care, or is it the fact that, you know, the president, they feel, is not from the United States? Is it taxes? Are they, like, fighting against socialism? I mean, what is their argument?
Their argument is fear.
Fear. Now, you might be right. The Tea Party is
fear.
Just on fear.
But no Tea Party is going to come out and tell you, I'm just upset because we got a black president that's doing this. And I feel, and I, a white person, feel powerless.
Wow.
To stop them.
Wow.
I really believe that's what a lot of it is. There, during the time when they were, the weekend when Obama and his administration were working this bill,
mm-hmm.
trying to get it signed, two guys, and I got the link somewhere, two young college students.
Mm-hmm.
Both white guys. They went around the White House in Capitol Hill and everything, where a lot of these Tea Partiers were protesting that weekend,
mm-hmm.
and just asked them some simple questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are you doing this? How do you know the bill's going to do this? How do you know about the death panels? How do you know why are you so critical of this bill? And most of their answers had to do with, well, I heard it on Fox News or
Rush Limbaugh or somebody.
I've been watching Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh.
Wow.
And they couldn't tell. They couldn't. And you know, they asked them, "Did you know this about this aspect of the bill? Did you read about the bill?" And most of them said no.
So they're just misinformed.
They're angry and misinformed, and so really they're angry about nothing.
Wow. So you don't think they have any merit? They're just a bunch of angry people who are not accepting of change.
Right.
Wow.
But dangerous, dangerous.
Very
dangerous.
A lot
of these people are part of what I call the white underclass. You know,
they're not all white, though, are they, Chris?
Well, most of the ones I haven't seen any black ones out there. I mean, yeah, I'm quite sure you got some people out there call themselves black Republicans.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess you got some deer that belong to the National Rifle Association.
Right.
Okay. I don't know. Don't ask me. But they're there. I haven't seen any black Tea Party.
So do you feel like their message has a undertone of violence?
Oh, yeah, very much.
So you think when they are listening to leaders like Rush Limbaugh and he's saying things like, let's go get the bastards, or Sarah Palin is saying, don't retreat, let's reload. So you think there's an undercurrent there to go and send subliminal messages to people who maybe aren't the smartest people that I think you should go and hurt somebody?
Sure, because when you do that, it's just like when you're in school. You wanted the dumbest kid to start the to go after somebody because they would do it most of the time, okay?
So they're sending the bullies on the playground out to wreak havoc on the rest of the people.
Right.
Okay.
And that's what they're doing, but we live in different times. You know, the people who shot Martin Luther King and JFK, those weren't the bullies on the playground.
Mm-hmm.
Those were your educated people. Those were your super rich. Those were the 1% that controls 80% of the wealth. Those people are not going to go after Obama because they already made their money. They made enough money from Bush. Kennedy and Martin Luther King threatened the economy back then. Okay, they didn't want Vietnam. They didn't want Vietnam. They didn't want they questioned capitalism. They didn't want what do you call that? The people who make the dollars.
The Federal Reserve?
The Federal Reserve, yeah. Kennedy didn't want the Federal Reserve. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They became targets. It wasn't necessarily that they were a threat to civil rights, because civil rights was really a concern of the poor and working class and underclass white people.
So is the Tea Party anti-government, are they saying that they're just hating everything? I mean, my concern for them is, were you upset the last 8 years, or did you just become concerned when we got a black president?
Well, they had lots of reason to be upset last year. They should have got upset over the Saudi port deal.
Mm-hmm.
They should have got upset over the lack of the WMDs. No,
mm-hmm.
no weapons of mass destruction were found in Iraq.
So the two wars we're fighting, that nobody attacked us. We weren't attacked.
Yeah. Nobody attacked. We, you know, they should have got. They had plenty of reason and opportunity to start their tea parties, and they did nothing.
That's a very good point. That is an excellent point.
Oh, yeah.
Because it seems like everything now is at issue, when for the last 8 years we've never even heard of a tea party. you know, under administration where a lot of people were disgruntled, but you didn't see this type of organization where people are just, you know, this angry and talking violence and doing some of the things that the Tea Party is being known now for doing. I think the biggest problem I have with them is that Sarah Palin is leading the pack. When you go get Sarah Palin to lead the pack, it really just it speaks volumes to the fact you don't have a solid leader.
Oh, sure. You're right about that. I mean, that's like, you know, the Democrats getting Captain Kangaroo to lead the pack. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, but that's about the best comparison I can make.
It just seems very odd to me that a woman that has 5 children and a husband would have this much time to go out and what do we call the things that she put on the map that she posted on her Twitter page? What do you call those things like bullets or the ammunition target thing? What do you call those? I forgot what you call them.
Crosshairs or what?
The thing that Sarah Palin put on the map when she put the names of the politicians that she felt should be targeted. What do we call those things? The pin something? I forgot.
I don't know.
But she posted a map on the internet that basically said, you know, these politicians are what we feel are the people that need to be targeted. And so she put the I don't know why I want to call those things pin something. But
what do you mean? What describe them?
What the hunters use? What do you call those things that go inside the scope?
The crosshairs.
I don't know why I can't remember that. The crosshairs. When she put those crosshairs on the map, to me that was I don't know, a valid of a message as you can say without saying go hurt somebody.
Sure.
I mean, it was so unspoken but yet spoken. You know, because if you take someone who's ignorant that maybe admires a Sarah Palin for whatever reason, and then they take and they look at that and then they say, well, she told us don't reload, retreat. I mean, don't retreat, reload. To me, that almost says go hurt somebody.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And who are they going to hurt? My thing is, do they target black people or do they decide they're going to target the president or who are they going to be angry with and who are they going to target?
Right, right.
You know, so I think Sarah Palin was irresponsible. I think she owes an apology to the country, and I think she definitely needs to go back and explain what she meant when she did it. And I don't think anybody has held her foot to the fire and said, explain why you put those crosshairs on that map.
Well, because you know why? It would cause more discontent. But it still doesn't mean she shouldn't be held to the fire.
Really?
People, you know, understand these people have a victim complex. Even though they are part of the white majority that has always been dominating things dominating the planet for the most part for the last 500 years to 1,000 years, okay? But they feel they for some reason have a victim complex,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And the victim complex stems from the fact that I think a lot of whites in America, the world over, feel, yeah, hey, we're only 8 to 10% of the world's population, and we're dwindling.
Mm-hmm. And we used to control everything. Now we're losing our grip.
Right. They see themselves losing their grip, and they don't feel very good about it. And you get, especially with from the country, this country, United States, you're going to get that from certain whites who are they're on the fringe. You know, they belong to these fringe groups or whatever. You know, it's just par for the course for a lot of them.
But are they basically, I mean, to me, they hide behind the message, we're afraid that the government is going to take over. But I think behind that message, it seems like a whole bunch of other little messages that are not necessarily connected, but they're mean-spirited. You know, when you're yelling out racial slurs, when you're spitting on politicians, I just think that's like totally unacceptable behavior from anyone, let alone adults. You know, what happened during the week of the voting, I thought better that politician that they spat on than me, because this ain't the 60s. You know, and Dr. King spoke about nonviolence, but if you spit on me, I just don't think that that's that's anything but a reason to defend myself, because to me that is the ultimate insult. And so I think the fact that the Tea Party was associated with that type of behavior volumes for the kind of people that are in the Tea Party.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a certain level of ignorance how to be going on in their meetings to incite that type of that type of behavior.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it was Hannity, I think I saw on his show, who said, I haven't seen any video footage that showed anybody making a racial comment or anybody spitting on anybody. So until somebody shows me that, I don't believe them. You know, that kind of, you know, I just think that was uncalled for.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it just further incited, like, you know, a behavior of you know, hiding behind, you know, the Tea Party and the things that they do and never making them accountable for anything they do. I just thought that was just in poor taste for him to say. I think somebody later did provide him with video footage that did show the incident did occur. But I just didn't think that that was just proper for him to say. And I think Fox, in my opinion, just they kind of are the cheerleaders for the Tea Party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Fox to me is just anti anything Obama and pro anything the Tea Party. But moving on, we've given them enough time, and I'm only going to get angry talking about the Tea Party. Let's talk about, well, I kind of want to go over that militant group out of Michigan, those nine people that were plotting to kill police officers and then detonate bombs at the funeral. It said like nine members of a Christian terrorist militant group were charged with conspiring to attack and kill police officers, including those attending a funeral, in an attempt to expand their war against the group's enemy, namely the United States. What do you think of that?
I think these people are out there.
Ooh, way out there.
Yeah, they are out there. I mean, they are out. They're in a whole. They're living in a completely different universe from the rest of the population.
Hmm.
You know, we've heard about the Michigan militia years ago, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
If this is the same group, the group that's founded by Norman Olson.
Okay.
He, you know, he's a military trained guy. You know, former non-commissioned officer.
Really?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So these guys here, they're very dangerous.
That's what I'm thinking. You know, in my opinion, they charge these guys with things like conspiracy to kill police officers, attempted use of weapons of mass destruction, training on the use of explosive devices, and things like possessing firearms during a crime of violence. I don't think that's stiff enough. I think that any time a person decides to kill police officers, I think that should go into a whole nother category.
Oh, yeah.
Because it speaks volumes of where that person is at in terms of what they're willing to do. I mean, because everybody in the United States knows it's a taboo to touch a police officer, whether or not he you feel deserves it or not. It's just a proper protocol to follow when you're disgruntled with police officers. But you would never form a so-called Christian group to carry out a terrorist act against police officers.
Sure. And, you know, there's problem police officers in this country.
Absolutely.
You know,
good cops and bad cops.
Is even a threat to the problem police officer galvanizes even the good police officers to unite with the problem officers. Okay, so you're fighting the whole force. You're fighting the whole the combined united force. That's every cop knows that.
I agree.
And you know the bad cops play on that. The police union. The police unions made it so that's the way it was. You know, it's the police unions that created that bizarre bedfellow of good cops and bad cops. You know, now cops, the people that show fearlessness towards police officers, whether they've even inside of violence. Just, you know, I'm thinking about the Black Panthers in particular.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Black Panthers actually went after police that they thought were a threat to the Black community.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it didn't matter that a lot of cops, they were outraged about that, you know, because they're thinking, you actually think you're going to tell us what to do? You know, you can't police us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's what they did. But you saw what the results of.
Oh, yeah. That. Didn't turn out well.
The government came through and helped the police.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in the case of this guy here, Norman Olson, and he talks about, he was in the United States Senate Subcommittee on Terrorism, and he made an opening statement in 1995.
Mm-hmm.
He said, not only does the Constitution specifically allow the formation of a federal army, it also recognizes the inherent right of the people to form militia.
Wow.
Said further, it recognizes that the citizen and his personal armaments are the foundation of the militia. The arming of the militia is not left to the state, but to the citizen. So right here, he's telling you, hey, we can do this. We can arm ourselves. We can form these militias. And once you do that, the next question to ask is, well, okay, well, why are you forming a militia? What's up? What's going on here?
But don't you think, though, it should be a law against, I say, stockpiling so many weapons? I mean, don't you think it's only so many weapons a household needs? And if you see someone stockpiling, you know, what you consider an unreasonable amount of weapons, don't you think just like we have to go and get a permit for a gun, that you should be, I guess, flagged for having maybe bought too much ammunition? To me, it should raise some type of flag somewhere that something's not right.
Once you start stocking up on weapons, especially if you start looking a little fanatical about it,
you should be on a watch list.
Yeah, you should be on a watch list. People are going to wonder about you.
Oh yeah.
Okay, and that's the whole thing. Now, here's a guy. Here's a group. This militia group. They're talking about the Antichrist, and they're talking about shooting some police. Okay.
So they're saying Obama is the Antichrist.
They think Obama is the Antichrist?
No, I'm asking you. Is that what they're saying?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
But they're saying, you know, you see, here's the thing. The Antichrist can be whoever you want it to be.
Hmm.
If you are a religious fanatic, you think along this level anybody's the Antichrist. Mickey Mouse is the Antichrist if you want him to be the Antichrist.
This is true.
You understand? A porn movie personality could be the Antichrist if you want them to be Antichrist. It goes according to what you believe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, that's, and, you know, because most of these people, that's what it is here. You know, that's how they go. Here's a quote here, a direct quote. The Michigan-based militia group, Jesus wanted us to be ready to defend ourselves using a sword and stay alive using equipment. The only thing on earth to save the testimony and those who follow it are the members of the testimony. Till the return of Christ in the clouds, we, the Huttery, are prepared to defend all those who belong to Christ and save those who aren't. Now, you and I both know Jesus Christ never said anything about that.
No. But isn't it amazing how people can take God's name and just put it on the beginning or end of any sentence and make it and justify it within themselves that it's right?
Right. And that's why on my profile, if you log into my profile on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
you'll see where under religion, I have the phrase, stop putting words in God's mouth. And some people got a kick out of that. They've commented to me.
And that's very true, because everybody who has an issue, you know, if they want you to believe them, they say Jesus said it or the Bible says or something to make it more believable.
Sure, sure.
And that's sure. Unfortunate, because I'm sure God is saying, I didn't say that, you know.
You
I mean, but
your credit card, God wants me to have it.
Yeah, where is that at? Exactly. You know, and these types of groups, when they put in front of it Christian, it just really speaks volumes to how people are fanatics and use Christianity as kind of like the Ku Klux Klan was founded on Christianity.
Sure.
You know, and so these groups, and I'm wondering if this type of group is an extension of the Ku Klux Klan, and maybe they're just not saying it. Because the Klan, and in my opinion, are very quiet lately, but these type of groups, basically they're spewing the same hatred message that the Klans had back in the day and still have today.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed. And so you wonder if you see some activity that you feel is strange in your community. Maybe some group is going around wearing all black and they're meeting, you know, at night in the woods or something like that. Do you think that that's the type of thing you should bring to the attention of law enforcement, or do you think maybe you should just stay out of it?
It wouldn't hurt to bring it to the attention of law enforcement. What are you hurting?
Really? But then you're afraid. You're afraid that maybe they'll retaliate. You know, sometimes you tell the police, you know.
You might feel guilty.
Well, I don't know, but well, let's just say like this. Sometimes you'll tell the police, you know, people feel, you'll tell the police, and then the next thing you know, you're a target. So I can see being fearful that, you know, these type of groups are dangerous. And so if the police, for some reason, their uncle, let's just say, was the police chief of one of these guys,
mm-hmm.
and then you've gone and told of these guys, I can see how you would be fearful that, wow, this group's going to come and attack me. And so I don't know what the right answer is, because if you're living in a rural town, say like Jasper, Texas, where they drug the guy to death, I mean, I could see, you know, that type of group being able to be present and operating in a town that small and with a small black population. And so if you're a black person who had concerns, I could see maybe you're not saying anything. Maybe you're just minding your own business and hoping that they just don't mess with you.
Right.
Unfortunately,
well, you know,
that's just
an answer to your earlier point, because you talk about how do you identify people like this.
Yeah, how do you identify? What are the warnings?
Sometimes they just look like regular people. Now I'm gonna read a few lines from this article here. This is the wife of one of those nine or eight suspects.
Okay.
I guess the guy's name is Stone, David Stone, I think it was his name. He said Stone's ex-wife, Donna Stone, told the Associated Press before the arraignments that her former husband was to blame for pulling her son into the Huttery movement. She said David Brian Stone legally adopted her son, David Brian Stone Jr., who was among those indicted. She said the marriage lasted 10 years. It started out as a Christian thing, said Donna Stone, 44.
Hmm.
You go to church, you pray, you take care of your family. Now, how can you detect anything from there? How can you detect anything from that?
You can't.
No. She says, I think David started to take it a little too far. He dragged a lot of people with him.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She said another son of David, Brian Stone, Joshua Matthew Stone, also was indicted and is a fugitive.
Whoa.
Said Detroit FBI spokesman Sandra Birch told.
But that's like if you believe her story. I mean, do you really believe that all this was going on with her children and she had no knowledge?
Well, she said that she didn't say she didn't have no knowledge. She said things started innocently. You go to church, you pray. You know, she's thinking, well, her husband's just a regular, ordinary family man. But she said he started taking things a little too far.
But what is she saying too far? Like what?
Well,
did elaborate?
Well, they may have elaborated. I left the site anyway.
Okay. Because in my opinion, why didn't she tell the police? Why didn't she say, hey, you know, I think they're planning something over there?
Is it easy to tell the police on your relative, especially somebody you're married to?
Okay, I can understand
that.
But the thing is, but then you hold the responsibility if someone gets hurt.
Yeah. That's true.
You know, I mean, if several police officers had been killed and she could have had an opportunity to prevent it, then you carry their blood somewhat on your conscience that you could have, you know, done something.
Right.
You know, in some small way to stop it. I don't know. I don't know what the answer to those type of groups are, because I think they have so much anger. And you know, if you're anti-government, anti the United States, how the heck do you live here? I mean, I don't understand that type of anger. And again, you know, under the last 8 years administration, these people didn't pop up, but now they're upset with the government. I think it really just goes to the fact, speaks to the fact. I think a lot of people are upset because we have a black president.
Yeah, that's it. You didn't really hear about these people back then. Especially during the last 8 years, I heard about some militias happening during the Clinton administration.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really hear about them during Bush because they felt kind of relieved when Bush was in office.
Yeah,
agree. So they got it's all based on twisted thinking. Anyway, in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
you know, their minds are twisted, and when they see people other than white people benefiting or making decisions, making major decisions,
mm-hmm.
I think one of my columnists on that I carry on the bullet, Charles M. Blow, he put it the best, because he said, who pushed Obamacare? Who pushed the Obama health care initiative through?
Hmm.
Barney Frank, a gay white male.
Oh.
Nancy Pelosi, a female,
mm-hmm.
and a black president was over the whole thing. So he said that's enough to
upset anybody
to cause panic in the good old boys.
You know what? And that's true. You know what? We got just a few minutes left, and I do want to hit on this one story that I thought was very interesting, and we're going to close it with this last story, where it said that the bad economy hurts U.S. Christian churches, and they said almost 40% of churches saw a drop in the offering plate, and a third are being forced to cut expenses, and they said those hurt hardest were the mega churches, with congregations the size of somewhere between 2,000 and 5,000 people,
mm-hmm.
and my thing to the preachers, and trust me, I'm a tithe payer and a person who believes in offerings. On Sunday morning, when you I'm somebody who predominantly goes to black churches. If you can tell me on Sunday when you have the $1,000 line and the $100 line and the $20 line to give and trust God, I would say to the pastor who is suffering and wondering how he's going to pay the church's expenses, trust God. You know, because I think if it's good enough for the congregation, it's good enough for the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so if the people can have faith that God can meet a need, then the church has to have, the pastor of the flock has to have faith that God can meet the needs of the church. You agree with that?
I agree. I got a couple of theories on why church membership is lacking.
How do you think it is?
I think it's, number one, especially in the case of the white mega churches,
mm-hmm.
I think the sex scandals are getting the people.
Really?
I really do. I really believe. I think it's taking its toll, and that's good. I think the constant news of the sex scandals is starting to give people their minds back. People are starting to get their minds back. People are starting to use their brain again.
So you're speaking of mostly the Catholic Church, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
And especially in the case of the Catholic Church, you know, a lot of them have large churches and everything, and also, you know, the economy probably. Who wants, you know, if you're not making any money, if you're not making much money nowadays, you're not going to be in the mood, because churches, regardless of what they say, they're in it for the buck.
Well, I agree with that.
Yeah, so you.
Well, I shouldn't say, let me take that back. No, I'm not going to agree with that. That's Chris's statement. That's not my statement. You all, I'm going to let Chris on that one. You said they're what, Chris?
Yeah, no, you know you agree with me.
That's not, no, those are your words. I'm going to let you on them. You said what, Chris?
Well, see, I'm saying, in other words, if, you know, preachers say dig deep, but the people can't dig deep anymore because there's nothing much to really dig for nowadays.
Right.
You know, their pockets are empty.
Right.
More than they were before, and that's because they let Bush and Cheney and those guys run amok for 8 years.
That maybe
now they've hurt themselves, and they're not mad at them. They're not mad.
Okay, we only have a few seconds left. Chris, let's give out our Twitter pages and ask everybody to follow us on Twitter. Chris's Twitter page is twitter.com/pointblank009. My Twitter page is twitter.com/Carrie Hines. Chris, what do you think of the first show we did? Okay, huh?
I think it was great.
Oh, Chris, I had so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
So what we're going to do is say, to everybody, this was our first show. If we had any ripples in there, we apologize for it, but we did the best we could on our first show, but I think we did pretty good.
I think we did pretty good, and it's going to get better as it goes on. You know, we're going to attract a good audience, I think, because we're going to talk about the important issues and have fun doing it.
Absolutely. So, Chris, in closing, only you can make the final
decision.
Absolutely. To everybody, we say good night, and we'll see you next time. Chris, I am so excited. That was a wonderful show. I cannot believe that hour went so fast.
We're still on the air?
Yeah, I think we have like a few seconds left. I can't believe the hour went so fast. I thought the hour was going to drag out, but boy, we talked about some really hot topics, and before we knew it, the hour was up.
Yeah.
I think we're off the air. Okay. Wow. What did you think?
I liked it.
Woo!
I think you did a very good job. I think you did very well.
Are you serious?
You carried the show very well, yes.
Oh.
You kept it flowing very smoothly.
Did I?
Yeah, you did. You did. I'm very proud of you.
Now, Chris, we will be able to listen to ourselves in 30 minutes. You know that, right? To listen to the show.
I didn't know it was going to be 30 minutes, but that's good. I'll be posting this stuff.
No, we're not ready to post. Chris, we didn't do good enough to post, did we?
Yeah, there's no calling on this show.
Yeah, okay. There's a way. There's a call. There's a – okay, let me go to that. Oh, Chris, I was so nervous. Let's see here. Let's see, how do you go there? There is a call in. Are you on the page? Go to the page.
I'm laying down right now.
Oh, you okay? You are not talking on the show, laying down.
No, I wasn't. No.
Okay. I was gonna say, how the hell did you read off the internet and laying in the bed? Dog barking.
I'm not that good.
Okay, but you are that good. Let's see here. I'm gonna go to www. So you think we can do this, Chris? So I'm gonna change some stuff. I'm gonna put Carrie and Chris. Okay. BlogTalkRadio.com. Okay. You are kidding. Oh, I cannot believe we finished our first show. Can I believe it? I was so nervous. I was trying to play it off. The first couple of minutes, that was a mess. I was thinking, I finally kind of, you know, mellowed into it. But, boy, I was so nervous the first couple of minutes, especially opening up. Let's see here. So it'll show. Let's see. I'm going to sign in. And let's see. I know they say in 30 minutes. Let's see. Okay. And then let's see here. You think we did pretty good. So it's nothing for us to be ashamed about.
Oh, no. Are you kidding?
Are you kidding? I was so nervous. You know what? Can I tell you a secret? I have these notes in front of me. I promise you I hit damn near every note. All these points that I wanted to hit, we got them. We got the majority. I think it's only maybe one or two in all my notes of things that we did not. You know what? I forgot on the military. The hit, are they planning attacks? And is it going to be a civil war? Forgot that, Cosby. Those were, God, that part I didn't get. Okay. So, okay, your question was what? You said something about call-in.
Oh yeah, because I know you didn't encourage people to call in. You didn't give a number.
I did not, because you know what? I sure did not give out a number. Next time I'll give out a number. There's a number. I'll give you the number. The number for listeners to dial in is 347-850-8390, and we can have up to five consecutive callers.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well, next time we'll do that.
The consecutive or concurrent callers.
Concurrent, right.
At the same time. So. Okay, my question is, I'm not sure how they're going to come in, because it says here with switchboard moderation and switch. There's a guy who's doing it, and he's going to have to explain it to me. But I've got to learn, how am I bringing in the first caller? How am I going to know they're there? That kind of thing. Because the only way you and I are going to be able to be on the phone at the same time is that I call you.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, how then can we push? How then can we introduce the caller? You see what I'm saying? Because if I don't know they're coming in, I think I heard on my friend's show the other day, it said so and so has entered the conference, or so and so Bob is on the line, or that was like. But no, that was when that guy called in like on the guest line. There's a number for the guest to call in on, and then there's a number for the listener to call in. I think the guest has to call in on our number. But then I think when you're a listener, you call in to a different number. And so we would have to have the guest on like a three-way. so that they would be on the line when we began the show, and they wouldn't leave the show until we ended the show. But the listener, I think, can call in and disconnect. I think that's it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you were looking at your internet, I could show you, but since you're laying down, we can't do that. But it says the programs that are available to us is for free. Now, this is for free. If we got the premium package, we could have it all. But
yeah.
For free, we're getting Create Your Own Radio Show, Inclusive in Program Guide. I'm not sure what that is. iTunes, One Click, a Promotional Tools, / Flash Player, Live Streaming, and Archive Downloads.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you can download it and put it in somewhere? Because archive downloads. So you can take the shows that we've done and put them somewhere?
Probably so.
Wow. Okay, but if let's just say we start making money from advertising, then we can go up to the $39 a month package. But I think we're good enough to do that. Don't you?
Oh, yeah, we are.
So if we went to the $39 a month premium package, we'd have everything. We'd have switchboard moderation. We'd have switchboard outdial. We'd have upload podcasts. We'd have host your show with Skype, free Skype to Skype.
But what's the need for Skype if we're not going to we're broadcasting from different cities?
I guess there is not.
We'd have to be in a studio together.
Mm-hmm. Chris, we going there. You hear me? We are going there. Chris, what we need to do is just find some controversial freaking topics to talk about. Do our research and then get on here and promote it.
Right.
Chris, I think we could do it.
Can you advertise a show like every couple a few times every day.
Okay, where? On my pages?
No, I mean right there on when people like to say when Barack Obama's show is on.
No, I don't see any way.
They could tune into the Carrie and Chris show or whatever.
The way that I think we're going to get there is we're going to be one of the most popular shows. I think that's how we're going to get there. Because this is popular. Under popular, On the Ropes, episode 65, A True Outspeak, special guest, BJ Lawson, Fly Lady and Friends. We got to get our shows up there.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to figure out how do they decide what's popular.
Right.
So that is it by ratings or is it by something else? Because if it's by either, we need to know so we can get it. And so if we get up there, I'm sure Barack Obama's show is one of the most popular.
Right.
So that's what we need.
Find out how our show did the rating today. How many people listen in? How do you find out how many people were listening in on the show?
I didn't promote it because I thought I was going to do so terrible. I wasn't. I didn't tell family members. I was like, you know what? I don't know. I don't really. You put it on Twitter, but I was like, I had told them it was coming. But we can always go back if it sounds okay and ask people to listen to it, and then
right.
If they like it, they'll catch the next one.
Right.
So we can come on every Saturday. You think? See, you won't be able to be stationary every Saturday at the same time.
I'm gonna try to be.
Oh. Chris, do you see potential, though, that we could go somewhere with this?
Sure.
I think so, too.
Yep.
And if we could turn it into money.
Yes.
And get good interviews.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. So, you know what
we
could...
The more shows we do now, on some Saturdays I'll miss, we could just do a repeat.
Oh, this is true. No, you can't do a repeat. Everything's live. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Okay, what I'm going to do is go in here and put the host now as you and I. Okay, my Blog Talk Radio. Let's see if I can go in there and put the host is Carrie Hines and Chris Stevenson. Okay, edit my account. So, who's type? Uh-oh. Okay, it's coming in. Contact. Wait a minute. Let me see. It has. The contact information, but where? Okay, profile. No, my page. Maybe under my page. So if we were calling it Center Stage, we can call it Center Stage this week. What do you think, Center Stage or Center Stage this week? Because it may not be an issue this week. It may just be an issue. What do you think?
What do you mean?
The title of the show.
Center Stage. I like it. Center Stage.
Not Center Stage this week.
Okay, when you, if you want to, sure, go ahead.
But you know, I'm not. I'm asking, Chris. I am asking.
Yes.
Center stage this week or center stage?
Center stage is one word. It will have better. Would be better for people's memory.
Okay, then let's go center stage, and we'll leave the center stage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. Okay. So, what else do we change? I cannot find. I'll figure it out. And then audio. I tried to put some audio on there, but I guess they want to. Do you like the audio that they have?
Yeah, I like it.
When they said, you know, you're now on Blog Talk Radio. Okay. Do we want to put the show category as current events, or do we want to put it as news? The category types, let's see, current events. Let's see. What else said? News, politics. That's it. That really kind of fits what we're doing.
That's what is that? That's where, what do you mean that's
The options for category type to be shown in the windows, you only have one option with that. They got art, automotive, blog, critics, blogs, books, business, comedy, computers, culture, current events, dads and families, design, dreams, education, election 2008, electronics, energy, entertainment, environment, family, film, finance, fitness, food, friends, fun, gadgets, goals, golf, health, history, hobbies, internet, jobs, legal, life, marketing, military, moms and family, music, news, paranormal, parents, pets, photography, podcasting, poetry, politics, politics, conservatives, politics, progressive, psychology, radio, religion, romance, school, science, self-help, social networking, software, spirituality, sports, technology, television, travel, video games, and war.
So we'll say politics.
You want to say politics? Okay.
What do you want to say?
I don't know. I say current events. We're talking about more than politics on here.
We're going to say current events and commentary. Can you put that in there?
We can only have one word.
Okay, but say current events.
Okay, we'll go electronic. Okay, and our maturity level, I said, was for everyone, but maybe not.
Was what?
It was. I put everybody.
What do you say about maturity level?
Maturity. For everyone, mature, adults only, test, or private.
You've got everybody on there?
Yeah, I put everybody, but you could put mature, adults only, test, or private.
Test or private?
I guess, like, if you have a private audience.
Mature, adults only.
Test?
Put everybody. You can put everybody there.
Okay. Special notes. Okay, we're going to say the show will spotlight all current events from entertainment, politics, health, and fitness to gossip. Okay, so you don't want to go that route. So we want to say the show will spotlight what? What do we want to say the description of the show is?
Current events, politics.
Okay.
Current
events.
Current
politics.
What else is
there? Hot topics. Hot topics?
No.
That could be anything.
Hot topics sounds like gossip.
You know you do a little gossip. You know you talk a little gossip.
Yes, I do.
But you don't want to talk about any. You know we probably could go hard.
What do you mean hard?
Hard, H-A-R-D, on
some gossip. What do you mean? What do you mean by hard gossip?
Yeah, if we had some hot gossip that we thought was something somebody wanted to hear about.
Name all the categories. Name all the categories. What else?
We said current events, politics, and hot topics. News. We can say news.
Okay, we can say news.
Okay, news. And anything everybody else is talking about.
If that's what it says?
No, this is me. This is us giving a description of what kind of show this is going to be. Center stage is about the description of center stage, current events, politics, hot topics, news, what?
Yeah, so they say it's commentary on current events, politics, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, commentary. Okay. Commentary, C-O-M-M?
Yes.
No, wait a minute. C-O-M-M-E-N-T-A-R-Y, Karen's
right.
Commentary on current events, politics. News stories and what? So commentary on current events, politics, news stories, and national news, local and national news stories?
Mm-hmm.
Local and national news stories? Or just news stories?
Or just news stories.
Okay, so commentary on current events, politics, news stories, and... You don't say hot topics.
Okay, you can put hot topics on their last.
give a girl something. Okay, so that's the description. Okay, it says add video or HTML. We don't have any video yet, so we won't do that. But that's interesting to know we can add video.
Mm-hmm.
And then show notes. Add any information related to your show in 2,000 characters. So is that, we just want to repeat the same thing?
What do you mean?
It says show notes, and it says add any information related to your show in 2,000 characters. We can say center stage is a show about, is a show about, is a show that, is a show that, spotlight, I don't know, what do you think, center stage, you're the writer, center stage is a show that spotlights current events in our world.
Okay, yeah. Center stage is a show that spotlights political and social current events.
Political, I like that. Social current events. I like that. Okay, so we said center stage is a show that spotlights political and social current events. I like that. Okay, now let me figure out how to go in here with the host part. Okay. Chris, I think we got something.
Do you?
I'm serious. I am so serious. You do not know. I am so serious. Wait a minute. Until I learn what all them grunts is, don't be grunting on me. What that mean? Wait until we can listen to it again. I don't know. I guess I should wait until I hear myself because I've never heard myself really on the radio and liked it. So we're going to see if I even like it. You sound like yourself because I've listened to you on YouTube. You sound like yourself.
Okay.
Do you like yourself when you listen to yourself back on, like, YouTube and whatever?
Yeah, well, I usually do.
Do you?
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. I'm real critical of myself. I'll just, like, you know, find 100 things I did wrong. Oh, I should have said this, and oh, yeah, and that word shouldn't have gone there. I'm very critical of myself.
Right.
But I don't know. And my friend was saying something about we needed some headphones. Why do we need headphones?
I don't know why. Well, that's a good question. What's the reason?
I'm seeing out here where they got host dialed in and they got some headphones. And I think, okay, so what the headphones going to do?
Nothing.
That's what I'm thinking. We'll see how we, I'll tell you what, we'll see how we sound, then we'll know if headphones are needed or not. But I could, they got us to the headphones on the website. I'm not sure what the headphones could do.
Right.
Okay, I'm waiting for it to take this, and it's taking its poor time. They got a place on here for a website. Do you have a website?
Huh?
You got a website?
The Buffalo Bullet.
Do you?
Why?
I did not know that. I gave out our Twitter pages. I gave out your blog spot. I gave out everything, didn't I?
Yeah, well, there's a place that you can put my blog spot there.
There is a place on here that says my website. Where would that be?
The Buffalo Bullet.
Buffalo Bullet is a website.
Well, it's a blog spot. It's a blog site, a website, whatever. You know.
Really? Okay. I got to go check that. BuffaloBullet.com.
Yeah, just put down, can you put, is it HTTP or www dot?
I don't know. It says the URL is displayed under your profile name. It can be a personal site or blog.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just put down www dot. BuffaloBullet.blogspot.com.
Hold up. Okay, the one you gave me. Okay, that one. Okay. Let me put that in there then. Okay. So that's how they can. Okay. Let's see here. Okay. Pull me up. It's still putting in the last information that I put in. Okay, people, hurry. Okay, commentary on current events, politics, news stories, and hot topics. Because Erykah Badu wasn't real. Was she a news story or was she hot topics? She was more hot topics.
She was a hot topic, but you cut her off. You gave her 15 minutes of fame, and that's it.
Wasn't that a great segue? After I said that, I was like, you know, Carrie, that was.
Oh, it was. I liked the way you put it.
You know what? That was exactly 15 minutes that we gave her, too.
That's your homegirl.
Oh, that's my homegirl. That was exactly 15 minutes that I gave her, and I was like, okay, we gave her 15 minutes. Let's move on. Okay, so I thought that was, say, once I get understanding of how you operate, I'll better know how to segue. How would you cut me off if you were trying to say something? Tell me what your cue would be.
I can't say shut up, Carrie.
Without a fight, so you might be a little nicer. I don't know, but how would you say? See if you cleared your throat, and I wasn't talking. I would probably understand. Okay, he's got something. To, we gotta have, I don't know, something where because we're not in the, you can't see me and I can't see you. How are we going to? Because I tried to read you where you were going. If you were finished. Before I would segue, I was watching the clock, and you know we actually got in 5 stories. Did you catch that?
What's that?
We actually did 5 stories.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you did.
We were able to get in.
Church in the last few seconds.
Yeah, exactly. We talked about the Christian church at the last. We gave them a couple minutes, and so that was pretty good for an hour.
Yeah.
You know, so I need to know how can I tell like when you're. I thought I was reading you. I was trying to read you, and I wasn't trying to cut you off. I was trying to make sure that I let you finish your thoughts before. Were you watching the clock at all? You weren't watching the clock, were you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. So I was watching, like, every 15 minutes or so, and I was thinking, okay, we got to give each one, you know, knowing that there were, like, 5 stories total.
Right.
So how do I know when I need to, like, clue you in or when you need to clue me in? What will be the sign? If you just it's like that, I would get it. I kid you not. You know what? I'll tell you something. If you don't know what your president does, can I tell you what your president does when somebody's doing something they're not supposed to be doing? I hope you haven't figured this out yet, because that'd
yeah,
be love.
He looks away.
No. Let me clue you in. He taps you on the elbow.
Does he?
Pay attention, especially with. The vice president. The vice president the other day was saying something that was stupid. You know, he's always saying something stupid. And he reaches over and he taps him on the elbow. I've seen him do Michelle like that. He'll gently tap him on the elbow. I saw him do Oprah like that. All of them were doing something stupid. And he doesn't say anything. He acts like he's going along what you're doing, but he taps you on the elbow. Very gently.
Ooh.
It's kind of like you would almost think he's agreeing with him. But then it's a gentle tap, and then he pulls his hand back. And then that person moves on to something else. Because I tell you what, when he got Oprah was interviewing him, and Oprah said, "Your hair is getting white since you've been in the White House." He was like, "Yeah, it is." And she reached up to touch his hair, and he gently touched her elbow. And Oprah brought her hand down, but she did not seem very happy about the fact that he had corrected her. Obviously, she knew what that sign was, and she stopped. But first of all, it's not appropriate to touch the president.
He got to go home to Michelle.
Exactly.
So Oprah know better than that.
I wouldn't touch no president. It's just not the thing that you don't touch the president. I mean, what am I going to do, rub the president's hair?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was reaching up. I kid you not. You could probably find. You could probably Google it. She was reaching up. That interview that she did with Barack Obama. She was reaching up to touch his hair, and as she did it, he gently tapped her elbow, and she brought her hand down. And her tone changed a little bit for a minute or so after that, and then the interview went on back to normal. And so I caught it, like, I don't remember how, I tell you when I first caught it, to be honest with you, I think I caught it on inauguration night when your first lady was jumping over a puddle of water. There was something spilled underneath where they were standing when they were in that building where they were overlooking the parade. And she was standing there with Barack. The kids had gone on, and it was just her and Barack and whoever the other people were in that little group that they had there. And every time she got to a certain point, she would jump over the puddle. And he reached over, and he tapped her on the shoulder, and tapped her on the elbow and whispered something in her ear. And her tone changed for a minute, like she was not happy. And so obviously that is his cue. And that's very smart, though. I really commend him because I never thought about that. He just taps you on the elbow very gently.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, so I need to know how to tap you on the elbow very gently.
Mm-hmm.
How do I do it? You have to tell me, because otherwise we can't see each other. I can't tap you on the elbow. How am I going to know?
It has to be something you say.
Oh. That's right.
It has to be something you say.
Okay, what will you say? Give me an idea of what you will say so then I'll know what I would say.
That's a good question.
You know what? If it's a situation kind of like what it was today when you said the preachers are all, what did you call the preachers? And I thought about that. I was like, I got to join somebody's church, so I'm not going there with him on that. When I said, Chris, that's your comment, I'm going to let you own it.
Mm-hmm.
Something where I don't disagree, but maybe I'm leaving you out there.
Yeah, but you agreed at first.
I did, and then I thought about it very quickly. Wait a minute. I'm looking for a church home. Let me.
you can't be afraid if you're going to do a show like this.
Well, no, but you know what? You know and I know you're going to fit a whole bunch of people. Like, what did you call them? You said something. What did you call them? You said they were all preachers. You almost called them pimps. You said something to that effect.
Did I?
Yeah, it was like it's a money thing or something.
Yep.
Wasn't it something like that?
Something along those lines.
And I was like, whoa, what did I disagree to? I was like, let's stop. Rewind. I will take that one back. Because I had to just, I thought, you know, and normally I don't react as quickly. Believe it or not, normally I'm like 15 minutes later thinking, oh, what did I just say? But that particular time, something stood out. Like, girl, you got to find a church home. You got to take that back. And so that made me respond really quickly. But we need something where, I don't know, where I just know when you, I don't know, maybe if you, because see, I want our segues to be smooth. One person I realize does terrible segues, and that's Whoopi Goldberg.
You can say moving on.
Huh?
You can say moving on or something like that.
No, I don't want to cut you off.
Right. But that's what it's going to do to a certain extent. I'll just cut it short. But let me see. Or you could say, transition or something. I don't know. It's hard to say.
We're going to have to figure that out. Because I want, you know, pay attention to The View. You know, Whoopi's the moderator on The View. She makes the worst segues I've ever seen in television. She absolutely does not know how to take a topic, end it, and go to the next one. She doesn't even know how to segue to commercial.
Whoopi's not a smooth person.
You know what? I think she's so full of her darn self.
Yeah.
I think her ego is so up there that she just doesn't come down enough to kind of come on the level of everybody else. Do you ever watch The View?
Once in a while.
She has this arrogance that when anybody's talking other than herself, she's bored. You know, she's looking over at the audience with this look of, oh, they're so stupid, or can you believe they said that? Which is, to me, if you and I disagree, we disagree. But I would never make your belittle your comments as though they were not legitimate to you.
Yeah.
You know, and so she has that arrogance about her, and then when she segues, oh, my God, it's the bumpiest ride you ever want to see. And I want us to be able to, I mean, and these people, I know they prepped before the show a whole lot more than we did, and I don't know why their transition is not smoother from one topic to the next. But she just cuts them off and then just goes right into whatever. Basically, she does the majority of the talking, and I didn't want to do that. I want us to be able to conversate, disagree or agree, and that's the way it be. But I don't want to make it seem like I know everything, because, God, I don't. And I would rather ask more questions and tell people any day, but I don't see her doing that. Okay, so we're going to listen. We're going to see. You want to see what the show was about? How do we do? Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see here. Okay, how do we go? How do I go to, okay, how do I go? Okay. Okay, let's see if that pulls it up. I'm Googling it as the show. I guess I could have put it in Center Stage, but I didn't. That should pull it up. Oh, that's probably we did well. Okay, it's not on there yet. Well, it's 5 o'clock, and I was told it takes 30 minutes. Let's try to put Center Stage and see what happens. One guy here does freestyle battles on his show, and he lets them call in, and they do the freestyle battles.
Wow.
And so I'm sure he's getting paid. They pulled up some stuff, but I don't see it on there. Let's see. Featured. Boy, a picture is important. Chris, how are we going to put together a picture? Because I'm seeing here a picture is definitely needed.
A what?
A picture.
What about a picture?
Need it. Because if you don't have a picture, it's just a blank there where your face would be featured, and then it has... Oh, we just take two pictures and put them side by side. Your picture, my picture, and just put it side by side. Okay. Let's see here. Let's try that again. I was just stealing one of your pictures you got on your... Sorry, there is no result for this election. I know we did just do a show. We did a show. I promise I know we did. Yeah. If that didn't go through, I will shoot myself. Chris, this evening, I will shoot myself. Maybe in the big...
Fly up here, we can do a picture together.
Huh?
You need to fly up here, we can do a picture together.
Oh, yeah, right. you notice who's going to do the flying. Go figure. Something wrong with that story. Let's see here.
Next time I go to Texas, we'll definitely get together and do a picture.
Do you ever come through here?
It's been a couple of years, but
serious. How can you get you a trip to Texas?
Oh, the only time I've gone is on truck driving assignments.
That's what I'm saying. So how can you get you a trip to Texas?
That's a good question.
Ooh.
I'm looking for another job anyway to try to get me farther out.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
When you say further out, you mean what?
Because I'm only doing regional stuff.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, I'm going to get further up, you know, get.
You know what? You said you're scared to fly. I'm almost scared to drive sometimes. I mean, I don't know how you can say one is more dangerous than the other. I mean.
When you crash or your engine blows out on the road, you're still on the ground.
Oh, okay. But you could be smashed to smithereens, but you'll be on the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, so wait a minute. Let me ask you this. So if your keel's on impact, does it really matter if you fall several hundred thousand feet to the ground?
Yeah, because it don't matter then, but if you got your seatbelt on, there's a chance you won't be killed on impact.
Oh, you still may be killed on impact, depending upon how you're hit. I don't know. The flying thing, I have always just kind of put it in my mind that if it's my time to go, I'm going to go. And I can go ahead and get in the I just hate the preparation, the going through the checkpoints and stuff. But once I get up there, that's not a problem. The only drag I have with flying is all that mess with TSA. I hate that.
The what?
With TSA, going through security.
Oh, yeah, right.
Take your shoes off. Let me look in your bag.
Well, the last time I flew was before 9/11, so it wasn't that bad. It wasn't bad, really.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't bad at all. But nowadays, it's crazy.
I know somebody who works for TSA, and they say you would be surprised at the things that they're breached on. And I was like, are you kidding? Is it that much going on? But they're, like, constantly bombarded with all these tests and, you know, different things they're told that they need to be aware of.
Sure.
Thinking, okay, the terrorists are already here. For y'all that think they could
have
been already here.
Terrorists are putting bombs up their rectum and all that stuff.
Well, you know what I came up with?
People are crazy.
They're getting very sophisticated with it.
Yeah.
But see, I came up with, in our town, I don't know if they're doing it in Buffalo, every time you turn around, the Middle Eastern people are buying hotels, not hotels, motels, those flea bag motels. And in my opinion, they're planning something. Because, see, a flea bag motel is the only place that can really fly under radar. Most people don't even want to go to them. So if they put a no vacancy sign up there, they could have that up there for years and nobody's going to question it.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. So you can fly in terrorists and harbor them there, and nobody's ever going to know the difference.
Right.
And so I think, I mean, you have to think realistically, who would buy a flea bag motel? And so I really, I don't know where we're at. I really can't understand why else they would be buying flea bag motels and gas stations unless they got some serious plots going on. And you know, we won't be ready, that's for sure, because we're going to be fighting within ourselves, and they just going to bomb us all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I said, okay. Carrie Spock, oh, that may be it. Okay. Okay. Okay, now I see what I may have done wrong. Okay. But, you know, when it's your time, you got to go no matter who kills you. It could be a chicken, you still got to go. Okay.
I don't believe that.
Huh?
I don't believe in fate necessarily.
Are you serious? What religion are you again?
Well, I was raised Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, Lord. No wonder. Let's see, are you still Jehovah's Witness?
No, not really. Not practicing.
Okay. Well, y'all got some interesting views.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, y'all close to the Muslims sometimes with them views. I do not, you know, I believe in faith. I believe, how can you not believe in it? I mean, tell me that. How can you not? Okay.
Because God allows things to go along on its own time.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, that's what I believe.
Really? So God allows a lot of things to go on, but in his own time, is that what you're saying?
In its own time.
In its own time. So, you know, somebody told me recently they don't believe in you read what you sow. I said, trust me, it is true. Oh, I don't believe in you read what you sow, because I see a lot of people and they ain't getting there. As I said, trust me, if they haven't gotten it, they will get it. Don't you realize, I mean, don't you get that, that you don't get away?
Well, most people do get theirs. Now, you're right about that.
Now, how can you say most people and not all people?
Well, what about people in Haiti? They're not getting there. There's a lot of good people in Haiti. How come they ain't getting there?
What do you mean? You mean the fact that they're going through what they went through? But, you know, some people are saying it's because they practice witchcraft and they brought raft on themselves and that kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, hang on a second, okay? Hang on a second.
I cannot find this show. I'm going to kick somebody's butt. And tell me, here we come. Please, 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 please. Hey, Dr. Maya Angelou, what in the world is this show? Mm.
How can that be? I am hungry. I've been trying to pull this up for the last 2 minutes.
Hello?
Yeah. So Chris, so you,
hello?
You believe, let me go back to it. So I'm trying to understand, what am I going to be, who am I going to be talking to exactly? You don't believe that you reap everything you sow.
Huh?
You don't believe you reap everything you sow.
Yes, for the most part, yes.
Yeah. I think there's no way, I don't think you get a chance to take your last breath until you reap everything you sow. And unfortunately, it hurts more when you reap it than when you put it out. That's the way it seems. And it seems like when you're reaping it, you know why you're reaping it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some kind of way you connect, wow, I remember when I did X, Y, Z, and that's probably why this is happening to me.
Right.
Don't you connect it like that?
Yeah.
Don't you listen to me? Chris, are you listening to me?
Yeah, I had to change phones.
No. I'm sitting here starving, knowing I cannot figure out. Maybe you need to log on and tell me if you can find it, because I'm having trouble finding it. I'm starving.
Well, I just got called to work.
Oh, you just called? Okay, go ahead. I will find it, and I'll let you know how it sounded.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.